Hello.
And welcome back to another episode of All Bases Covered.
The podcast that
talks beauty and lifestyle and spends money so that you don't have to.
Yeah, there we go. Sorry, I was bamboozled by the fact that the dog that just managed to get through a closed door and also a barricade on the stairs. His drive for a dirty sock or a shoe is unmatched. Absolutely unmatched. He comes up and he rushes up the stairs and he goes straight to the walk-in robe and he finds a sock.
You guys all missed the fact that after last week's record, I just talked about my new shoes. And Lisa walks downstairs whilst I was packing everything up and she's like, oh, Alex. And I was like, oh, what? And she's like, the dog ate your shoe, but I think it's fine. And I was like, she's like, I've taken it off him. She puts it on the table. I come downstairs and I was like, oh, but what about that shoe? And there's one with like a chonk taken out of the heel.
Guys, I'm clinging on to my sanity by a thread. I'm so excited. Tomorrow I have to wake up at 5 and I am so excited to take this dog to the fucking airport. For those that don't know, firstly, there was the shoe incident. Secondly, there's the fact that he barks constantly if I leave him outside. And not like I'm lonely bark, like he barks at me to come out and like chase him and like tell him off. Like it's a full game we've got constantly. So then I just have to always be doing stuff with him. It's just fucking exhausting. Then trying to get him out of the house for open for inspections. And then
he sounds like a disaster. He sounds like no one's going to love him, which is a really mean thing to say.
I know. And then 2 days ago, was it 3 days ago? Can't remember. The trauma clouds my memory. I'm taking him to the park. I've woken up at like 6 o'clock to take him to exercise him before work. And he starts like rolling around. He's a big roller and he's like having a lot of fun. And so I laughed. I started recording him. And then I'm like, Chico, what the fuck is that? And then I'm like, oh, my God. Because there was at this park, like 7 houses before you get to the actual park, there was this dead like rat's tail on the ground for like
gross
3 months slowly decaying, and it would make me get like goosebumps every time I walked near. I'd cross the road so I didn't have to see like the gross rat's tail like slowly decomposing into the pavement. Just foul. Just absolutely foul. So then my first thought was, oh my God, he's got a rat. Plot twist, not a rat. I walk over and there's this huge thigh, like the size of a toddler's thigh.
Oh my gosh.
And then this like shin, and then like what I didn't see but what an old lady later who found it on the ground saw was claws.
Was it a fox?
Fox, cat, or ringtail possum is the sort of short list, because it was sort of, you know, a good mid-size animal. Anyway, I saw it and I started running and screaming. And then I'm like, how am I going to get this dog back? Because the only reason I can get him back is because he really likes to chase Watson. So I call Watson and then he comes after Watson and then I can, like, you know, pick up his lead and get on my merry way. But this dead thing far superior to chasing Watson. So he was throwing it in the air, putting it on the ground and then rolling every little bit that he had into it, thrashing about. He was thrashing so hard he had a cone in. He ripped his cone off and it just left somewhere in the middle of the oval. And then he'd start randomly chasing after me and jumping up at me with the thing in his mouth.
Oh.
I was screaming. And there was people at the park and I think they probably thought that I was like having fun. But I was crying, like, crying and screaming.
As he like shoves a carcass in your face.
Yes. Oh. And then, and also I kept gagging. And then after a short time, the aroma really got me because he was covered in it. And then the thing was being thrust at me. And so I managed to like lasso him. And there was this elderly couple with their dogs. And I was like, oh my God, don't go near that. He's got something, like trying not to cry in public. And then she went and inspected it while I, like, grabbed him. But I couldn't even – the lead's distance was, like, too close. Like, he was wafting so bad. So I called Brenton and I was just sobbing. I'm like, he's got a corpse and it's everywhere and it smells so bad. Like, but I didn't bring Watson a lead, so I can't walk him home. But I can't put him in the car because I can't lift him up. He smells so bad. I had to lift him up. I had to put him in the car, and then I was in the car, and it was like a hot box of death. And I was gagging and my eyes were streaming and I was crying. And then I put all the windows down, but it didn't do anything. And then I put a mask on and I had to drive to, like, to the car wash with my head like out the window, kind of looking at the road out of the window. Oh, it was so intense. And then I washed him, thank God. But it was just, I'm not good with dead animals. I'm really not. Like, sometimes I cry at roadkill. And this was a, this was like, this was a thing. Like, it was big. It was so big. And I think just the shock of the unidentified, and it was just this big raw thigh. And then literally, guess what I had bought for dinner?
Some sort of roast meat animal.
In my fridge, I had a chicken thigh, like chicken thighs, or a whole roast chicken. And I had to be like, I'm sorry, Brenton, we can't eat that tonight. We have to find alternate. Because
a vegetarian option.
I could not. It was a lot.
What a week. What did, I know. That amounted to a week of trauma.
Well, yeah, and then he did a shit on the carpet while I was prepping for open for inspection. The dog that is literally not weed or pooed inside this entire time, I couldn't put him outside because he barks. I couldn't put him in the laundry because I needed to clean the laundry. So I let him potter around with me and he took a dump on the carpet.
He's probably at that age where he's regressing in his, like, behavior. And,
yeah.
RIP to the person who gets him, honestly.
I'm trying to figure out if him or Laddie's worse. Unsure. Laddie did a bit more destruction.
Shout out to Laddie's mum who listens to this podcast.
But, yeah, anyway, enough dog content. We won't have dog content, me and Brenton have discussed, probably until at least November. I don't think we'll be fostering. So,
other than Watto. Oh, man.
Anyway, tell me about your week.
My week's been boxes. Boxes and boxes of boxes for boxes. I don't think I've done anything else other than pack and then clean, and that's about it. So that's all my news. I'm moving out. By the time everyone listens to this podcast, I will be out of my home.
Wow.
Which,
will you be in your new home?
You know what? No, I won't be. I think.
But where will you be is what I'm a bit confused about here.
We'll be living in limbo for a few days until we can move in. But realistically, like, we can't move in until the following weekend, so it's going to be a while. A week.
Okay.
The good thing about packing, there's no good things about packing, but the one good thing about packing is that A, you throw out a lot of shit, and there's another thing. B, it's a bit cathartic when it comes to moving. Like, I hate everything so much that I've had to put in a box that now I'm just like, just get me out of the house and get these boxes out of my life. So it's like kind of good in a way, like it's forcing me out of this house. Adrian keeps wanting to try to put things in boxes that shouldn't go. Like, I was packing up a pantry box before and he's like, can we just throw this in there? And I was like, absolutely fucking not.
If we start that, why don't we just scoop every random item into a random box?
That's it. I'm like, the whole purpose of boxing items is so that you can put it in a room and then that belongs to that room location. So I'm fast and loose. I'm worried that I'm not wrapping things well enough that so that things will arrive broken.
Yeah, I see. I'd rather that.
Same.
I like the order, but I want to do it quick and fast and I don't really want to take care.
Yeah, so that's what I've done.
Yes, yes. Well, you say it's the exact same as me liking things to be tidy but not necessarily caring if they're clean.
Yeah.
It's like the shelf is beautifully displayed but
covered in dust. Of course. Okay, now we can get into the episode.
Okay.
That's the tea on that.
Let's chat beauty news. Do you know what? This week feels like the beauty news is a little bit different to normal. It's not just Disney collab with ColourPop.
Thanks,
something collab with something and whatever. Although we do have the token at the moment. This big brand is now leaving the market.
Oh, Bite.
God, feels like we've said that every beauty news for the last couple of months, just brands dropping like flies.
Yeah. So Bite is officially shutting down. Apparently they've only been around for a decade. I truly would have thought it was a bit longer than that. Apparently they're keeping their lip labs, which they've got overseas, which is where you can make your lippies.
Cute. I've been there. I was going to say, oh, I wonder about those labs.
Yeah, but they're not branded as Bite Beauty Labs. They're branded as something called Lip Lab. So completely separate to Bite Beauty, and Bite Beauty itself is done so. Everything's 50% off. If you like Bite Beauty, go to Sephora and stock up.
Wow. Yeah, get the – I really only have had one. Oh, no, wait. We liked the
– Foundation.
The foundation as well as the classic agave lip mask.
True. I've liked their lipsticks in the past too, but they discontinued the range that I enjoyed.
Hmm. Yeah.
Also, we haven't really spoken about Chloe Morello's brand now that it's Cyrini is officially announced. She has gone into collaboration with her manager, Ashley Villa, to launch this brand. And it's a combination, as we had expected, of like, I don't want to call it beauty and skincare, because it's definitely skincare led. And the product that she's leading with is something called Overnight Overhaul, which has a bakuchiol base, which for those who can't remember, is that retinol alternative that's natural.
Yeah, which is nothing like retinol, but really marketed hard as a natural alternative to retinol.
Yes, improved skin cell turnover made from plant. Mm-hmm. And apparently also has a DHA in it as well, which is like a fake tan. DHA is fake tan. That's what it is. So it's essentially going to give you color overnight whilst resurfacing your skin and making you wake up looking like a tanned baby, which sounds great to me.
Mm.
In a beauty blunder. Picked up by Hannah E. The product packaging contains a spelling mistake, which is unfortunate for them as a brand to start out this way.
So awkward.
They spelt the word, for those who care, rejuvenating. Rejuvenating.
Yeah, with an I, not an E.
Yeah, it's a bit awkward. I do like the concept of the brand. I thought that it was going to be like Perricone-esque, no makeup makeup, which I feel a lot of people have done where it's just infusing beauty with like makeup with skincare ingredients. Yeah,
but not in active levels and it kind of being a nothing thing anyway.
Yeah, but what she's doing is based on a video that she did, which was the Overnight Overhaul, where she essentially did like semi-permanent makeup before she went to bed. So it was like she tinted her eyebrows, she tinted her eyelashes, she did a little fake tan spray on her face.
Mm-hmm.
And for this reason, I'm very excited about what might be to come. Like, anyway, I'm intrigued about this brand and what's to come.
I reckon she's going to do one of those. We saw it while we were doing this podcast, maybe a year to a year and a half ago, when all of these brow brands started doing like a tinted brow gel that lasted for like 6 days or whatever. I reckon something like that's going to come based on what you said.
Yes. Also, we didn't talk about the fact that she's having a second baby.
Oh, my God, I know. 16 months apart. So the same as Abby and Brenton. Yikes.
Very close in age. And I liked how candid she was talking about it. She was basically like, we decided that we wanted to try for another baby and then very swiftly decided that they weren't ready yet. And then by that time she was already pregnant.
Yeah. Also, not really beauty related, but speaking of babies and beauty – Ava Chandler Matthews had a baby.
She's the founder of Ultraviolet, or one of the founders of Ultraviolet. Yeah,
baby.
Yeah.
Artie Valentine.
Very cute name.
Mm.
And she was very surprised she had a boy. moving on from Chloe Morello's baby.
Oh, have you seen that Ole Henriksen is at the Iconic Beauty now?
I had not.
Uh-huh. I just was surprised by that because I see them as almost synonymous with Sephora. It's almost like NARS and Mecca. Very, very hoven. And so seeing them in another retailer was very interesting.
It doesn't surprise me in a way because I see them as a brand who is synonymous with like accessibility of their products. Like they want people to be able to get it in their hands and the Iconic is the way to do that. So it does make sense a little bit.
Get that fat glow facial, everyone.
Yeah, seriously, do.
And the last piece of beauty news, you will start to see this, I think, all over your feed because it's happening in Australia and America and probably the UK. The good old days of a big brand launch, like flooding your feed, are back. It's nice to see events happening. And you
I
know
feel
what?
A bit weird by about it, though, and I feel a bit bored by it. I feel like we don't know all of – I don't think we know 90% of the influencers who are at these things anymore.
Yeah, maybe. Probably. I saw Alana Rama at the Benefit one in Canada. I saw Amelia at the Australian one, and I'm sure that I'll see a bunch more. But anyway, it's Benefit. Benefit's launching, or relaunching, I should say, their iconic box blushes.
Mm.
And Benefit were one of, I feel like the original, it was like Tarte, Benefit and Nars that would do those huge press trips that would just be all over your Instagram and YouTube. It was that Bad Gal Bang that they did. Yes. And then I feel like Nars did it for like Hot Tin Roof or something like that, where they all went to the Maldives or something.
Nars did it for Climax as well.
Mm. Yes. And then Tarte, I don't know, when Tarte was cool, they'd do it too.
Yeah. Rainforest of the Sea. That was a one that they did in the Maldives, I think.
Yes, or Turks and Caicos, or potentially both. Oh, my God. See, you do remember. Like, it works.
Yeah, it does work. You know what doesn't work, though? How mad Hawaii is about Benefit being there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a really uncomfortable situation where Hawaii's been like, we don't want tourists. You're ruining our economy. You're ruining the, you know, traditional owners of our land. You're ruining the businesses of these people by giving all of your money to the hotels. And it's apparently just like full on cooking the system. And it's really big over there right now. And it's quite large, like a thing that's spoken about quite a lot in America.
Isn't that trending on TikTok? I feel like I've seen that on TikTok.
Oh, it might be. I'm not on TikTok at the moment. I deleted it temporarily. I say temporarily because I know I'll cave and get it back.
Yep.
Yep. Anyway, tell us about the blushes.
Sorry. That's very interesting. So the interesting thing with this Benefit relaunch of their blushes is they said historically you choose a blush based on your skin tone, but these are built a different way. No matter your skin tone, you can wear any of these shades.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
It's all of them were built using a translucent base versus a white or pink base.
Oh.
Where you add colors and pigments on top of that. This means there's no white or ashiness on any of them, regardless of your skin tone. And for those loyal customers who use the existing shades, we will be making recommendations to match the new ones.
Okay. Interesting.
Very interesting.
I wonder if they're the first people to do it or just the first people to say that they're doing it, you know?
Yeah.
Mm.
Either or, I'm intrigued. Very intrigued.
Well, I'm open to trying them if we want to do it as a product trial one day. We've been burnt by our most recent blush trial, so.
What was our most recent one? Was it the one that had no pigment?
Rare Beauty, yeah.
That was a literal piece of shit.
I know. I still own it. And in my packing, I want to throw it. But, like, what a waste. But also, I don't want to give it to anyone because what a waste.
I know. The perfect alternative. Leave it in the house for the new owners as a total burden.
I'll just hide it somewhere. I'll put it in a heating vent so it rattles. Anyway, bonus piece of beauty news just hit my inbox whilst we were on this conversation. GoTo have told us what their product releases will be for the rest of 2022.
Do you think that's in response to people getting angry that they did the sale and then launched the hyaluronic?
I'm not sure. Now they're
trying to be transparent?
But she said, you might have noticed that we've really cranked up the new Dingin product launches. And she said that they've got additional team members that basically doubled their team. And apparently it was always the plan to launch these products, but I guess now that they've got an investor, they're able to do things faster. Who knows? Mm-hmm. Apparently on the lineup for the rest of this year, an oil-free lightweight gel cream.
Oh, thank God. Packed
with hyaluronic acid, ceramides, and whatever else available in June, refillable packaging.
Mm-hmm.
In July, a hydrating face mist, which is exciting. In October, a body oil update. She's called it a firm update on their beloved body oil, okay. which I guess means it's a firming body oil if we believe that they exist.
Mm.
And in August, which means that these are labelled either incorrectly or the wrong way around, their SPF is launching.
Don't care.
You don't care about the go-to SPF?
I just, for some reason, I think it's going to be like a 30.
She said it's high strength, so I assume it's a 50.
Okay. And I also think it's going to be mineral-based, so I can get in the bin.
Okay. Well, you know, it might not be, but it's probably why
we don't get PR from GoTo anymore. No, excited about every other launch except if it's a mineral sunscreen because I can't be clearer. I never want to use one.
I know, me either. Put
one on my face.
That was a good song to see us out.
Thank you.
Do you want to do your beauty breakdown on Botox?
Yeah, okay. I was watching Lydia Elise Mellon's YouTube.
Mm.
And Lydia Elise Mellon Gordon, God, she's got more names than I do. And she was talking about getting some Botox top-ups.
Mm-hmm.
And she was sort of breaking down some of the myths and chatting to her injector about Botox and how people confuse Botox with filler and all that kind of stuff, kind of stuff we talked about before. But what he said, which was very interesting, was that, you know, on her they do a sprinkle, baby Botox, whatever you want to call it. Basically, they don't kill the muscle dead and they do that and they do it relatively regularly, but they wait for her to get a decent amount or almost a full amount of movement back before they treat the area again.
Hmm.
And the reason that he said that they did that is because if you continually kill the muscle dead, it gives you papery, thin appearing skin.
Mm.
And that the reason for that is because the muscle is weak to the point that it starts to waste away. And then if you don't have that muscular structure under the skin, it doesn't like pad the skin out and give it that firmness. And therefore you get that crepey sort of like flat to the face looking skin.
Hmm.
And so then I did a little bit of researching and I was looking at preventative Botox, like does it work and how.
Mm.
Basically it was saying, yes, if you start Botox early and you do small doses and you wait for movement to come back, it's an excellent way at keeping your face look quote unquote fresher or younger or like it is for longer because you're not overworking those muscles, you're not getting the fine grooves, all of that.
Mm.
But if you get too much, you can cause that muscle to go quite dead very early on and so you can have thin, papery looking skin early in life. Or if you get quite a lot in certain areas, you'll get what we have discussed before. Perhaps if you kill your frown but you don't put any sprinkle anywhere else. I was getting wrinkles on the side of my nose because other muscles are compensating and working in overdrive. So then you might get wrinkles elsewhere and then you've got to kill your whole face dead.
Yeah.
So really, which is what we already know and what we already get, if you're under the age of 50, don't kill anything completely dead. And make sure, and if you are, make sure you're waiting until you've got some movement and you are actually working those muscles because, I mean, you don't want thin, papery skin. And also I'm thinking from like a neuro perspective, like you don't want to kill a muscle so dead that you almost, I wonder if you could start getting like ptosis or a bit of like a droopy face or just a really odd looking face if you actually lose like full muscle control in large muscle groups across the face.
Mm. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it?
Mm.
I was talking to Amy last time I got Botox and she was saying that they've noticed with their clients after lockdown, it was sort of the first time that they've ever had this extended period where people just couldn't get their Botox top-ups.
Yeah.
And she was saying that she noticed that the people even who'd been coming for a very long time, they still found in her clinic in particular anyway, that people's muscles were regaining full strength. So everyone who came back required a larger dose and then ongoing larger doses rather than if you've been getting Botox for an extended period of time, usually you just need like a smaller dose to sort of kill the muscle back again. Mm. But she said it was almost like starting Botox fresh with everyone who she hadn't seen in a long time, which is interesting.
That is interesting. And that's in terms of muscle strength, not in terms of like probably line appearance. Because if you've been using that muscle for those 2 years plus the 5 years beforehand, you're going to have a deeper groove than if you'd killed it for the 5 years beforehand, then had a break for 2 years and then started again. But yeah, I just thought it was really interesting thinking about the fact that Botox can actually be aging on you if you go too hard.
Yeah. I think so too. I really like that little beauty breakdown. Thank you.
Dang, these products are so good. What's the deal?
What's your product fave this week?
My beauty fave this week is the Glossier body lotion.
Oh yeah.
It smells divine. Mm-hmm. But not only does it smell divine, the shimmer, the little glorious glow that it gives the skin that you can't even see, except that you look at your palms and they're a bit tin man-y after you're done and you're like, I've got a glisten about me. Mm. And it's so lovely. And it's actually hydrating and worthwhile putting on your body, which is the best part about it, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's not just loaded with fragrance. It's wonderful. Yeah. I did use it on my wedding day.
Yeah, I usually reserve it for special occasions, but it's the only proper hydrating moisturizer that's not in a box. So, yeah.
Lucky you.
I know. What's your beauty fave?
Mine is the Living Proof Perfect Hair Day Dry Shampoo.
Ah, I've never purchased it. Tell me why. I hear great things.
Yeah. So I just feel like I've been getting a little bit less long between washes at the moment, and I've been noticing that my hair starts to look stringy sooner lately. And then a lot of the dry shampoos that I have are really more for texture. So I have the Preta powder, which is fine when you put it in hair that's not super dirty because it can kind of just like stop it being stringy and give a little bit of body. But if you've actually got slightly dirty hair and you put it in, it feels quite heavy and gritty, and it looks very and it also looks very visibly matte, which I don't mind, but it then ends up looking a bit weird because your hair looks greasy but also matte. And then another dry shampoo that I love, I think it's called First Class by IGK, but that makes your hair feel literally dirty, like you want to wash your hair after you use that. This you put in and it's very white, like I don't know if you've got like black hair, I don't know if it would work for you, but it does really disappear and it feels very light. Like I don't feel like I've got dry shampoo in my hair at all, but it just isn't like clinging together and being stringy. And the only way I can describe it is it really does feel like you've washed your hair. However, it's quite expensive. And so I save it for when it's like, wow, I haven't washed my hair and I actually need, like I need to look good. And I haven't got time to wash my hair. I'm going to try and reserve it for that because it's exorbitantly expensive and also it's an aerosol and I don't like to buy aerosols that much. And I also feel like aerosols you finish so fast. So for that reason, I don't love to buy it all the time. But because I've been having a bit of a dirty hair crisis, God,
the scalp. How's the scalp grit about it? Because that's my biggest pet peeve. None. Oh, that's interesting.
It really does feel totally clean in your hair. Like, it's weightless. It's really good. And as Loz told us a gazillion years ago, it is really the type of thing that you could really pile in your hair before bed, let it absorb and wake up the next day.
Okay. When I feel like I've got money again and I need a dry shampoo, I'll invest in it.
It's absolutely excellent.
Actually, it's not a helmet. It's a hairmet. It has extra room so you don't mess up your hairdo.
What's your non-beauty fave?
Now, I am dry on the non-beauty faves this week. I've got two snacks. I've been thinking really hard about it, and the only thing I can think of is Windex.
Fuck that. I've got a good non-beauty fave.
You don't want to hear why? I would say that Windex is the superior streak-free cleaner. And all this time I've been complaining about how streaky my stovetop gets, Windex really gets it clean, and it really gets my windows clean.
I'm so happy for you.
What's your non-beauty fave?
Mine is the new Louis Theroux available on ABC iView. It's called Forbidden America.
My money, don't jiggle, jiggle.
No, that's old.
I know.
Three new episodes, maybe there's four now. Brand new. The reason I like it is that I think Louis's getting a bit old and a bit sick of everyone's shit, which I'm into.
Oh, is he just a bit more stern and a bit pragmatically off?
Yeah. He's a bit like in one example, the first episode is called Extreme and Online, and it's about like really far right wing people in the US. And there's this one guy who did like a Nazi salute. And Louis was like, why did you do that? And he's like, it wasn't a Nazi salute though. And Louis was like, but it was. And he's like, no, it wasn't. You can't tell me that it was. And Louis's like, but it very clearly was. And he just kind of like goes him a little bit. And I'm like, yes. Yes, Louis.
That's the best.
Yeah, so he's a bit, like, aggressive. And it's
also,
good.
Can I just say, if you're going to go full Nazi about things, don't be
commit.
Don't be so piss-weak to be like, no, it wasn't. I was just scratching my head. Like,
yeah, 100%. I felt the same about it. But that's what all of these dweebs in this in episode one of this thing, they're all fuckwits like that. They're just like, yeah. And one of them's like this 22-year-old who they think is going to be the next Donald Trump. And the shit he says, and then people are like, he's a genius. I think he's the most intelligent person. I'm like, he's literally just like word vomiting bullshit and you're believing him. Anyway, if you want to feel infuriated, really great episode to watch is the first one.
Just took it to my veins.
What's your snacks? Go on.
So my first is condensed milk.
You're back on the condensed milk train. It's been a while.
I had two bowls
of
porridge today with condensed milk. It started after the incident, the corpse incident.
You needed some soothing.
I needed, yeah, so I actually drove to the shops after and I was like, I need like a really warm, comforting, like childhood nostalgia breakfast. Because I literally, the adrenaline rush, like I had goosebumps and I had a full come down afterwards. Like I needed like nurturing. So I made myself a really big bowl, like a huge bowl of porridge.
Yeah.
With like a gazillion glugs of milk and like half a tin of condensed milk. That was the best thing I've ever had. I was like, the sugar really.
Yeah, I was going to say you went from like the high from the adrenaline to the lows back to the highs of the condensed milk.
Yeah, it was so good. Yeah. And my second snack is actually, it's my standard cookie recipe, but I browned the butter.
Yum.
And the reason I browned the butter is because I was like, I actually feel like white choc macadamia. And I just felt like with white chocolate and with nuts, that nuttiness from the brown butter would just be a chef's kiss. And I was right.
Yeah.
And yeah, white choc macadamia cookies, they're freaking good. They tasted really like Subway cookies.
Yum.
But like elevated.
The only Subway cookies I ever liked were white choc macadamia.
Yes. They're the superior Subway cookie. I agree. And so Brenton doesn't really like, he doesn't like macadamias and he doesn't really like white chocolate macadamia cookies, but he ate one and he was like, shit, Mort, this is good. And I was like, thank you. And then I did a double batch. I did my standard ones and the white chocolate macadamia and they went first. I don't know if it was just the novelty factor, but they were really hitting the spot for everyone.
I'm sad that I wasn't able to partake.
I will make some again. I bought some white chocolate in the condensed milk shop. So
in the condensed milk shop. Yeah, great.
What's your snack?
Mine's a random one. I've been going through like pantry cleansing.
Oh God, yep.
But I have actually enjoyed the Ceres Organics coconut wafer rolls this week. I don't know if you've ever tried them. Mm-mm. They're essentially an empty tube that used to have like chocolate and like a swirl of chocolate up. It looked like a straw. It was like a wafer biscuit straw. Oh,
the things you get at Christmas.
Yeah, they come in a tin with like 80 of them.
Yes. Oh, they're good. Yeah.
Yeah. So imagine that, but in like a bite-sized nugget and it's coconut flavored, I guess. Like it's made from the coconut pulp and like coconut sugar. And it's not a health food. You buy it in the health food aisle, but it's not a health food.
Yeah.
But it's gluten-free and it's like an easy snack. And because there's so much coconut, like milk and stuff in it, it's quite fatty. So it fills you up as a snack. Anyway, they're delicious and they're really Moorish and you can eat a whole box of them in one sitting. Yeah.
Will it give me fat poops though?
I think it would. Oh, they're quite dry. So maybe not. But I don't think
it depends on the hydration. I think it just depends on fat content.
Then probably yes.
Yes. That's it. What a weird way to end. Next week is going to be moving week, auction week, highs and lows all round.
Yeah, we're not even going to pretend that we're going to be in a state to talk.
No. So we will put up our trial for the Laneige products because that's already pre-recorded and you can listen to it then. And then we'll see you in 2 weeks. Yeah.
Fun fact, it's our 200th episode next week.
No way. Oh my God. Oh my God.
I know, we've been around the block.
Alex, that's insane.
I know, 200. 200.
That's actually like a lot. Like, wow.
I know, we should stop now.
Ghost exit. I'm so proud of us. 200 is a lot.
Same. All right, I'm done. I'm going to go watch Survivor and sit in the shower floor.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.